Praise the Lord. I want everybody who hears these messages to learn to resist the devil and overcome temptation, regardless of what that temptation is. You know, when Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world, he was talking about all of his disciples, not just the ones at that time, not just the ones at that place. And we know that because that's what they did. If we didn't believe it because we read it, we can know by the example that the early believers set. They went out and they shared the good news. They shared the message. And so we know by their example, even if somehow we thought that maybe that isn't what he meant, their example shows us it's exactly what they understood him to mean. And so we can take that and say, okay, that's what he wanted. That's what we should do. I had somebody one time tell me, no, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean to go. And they gave me some flowery blah, blah, blah. And it didn't record because it was contrary to the Word of God. When you read that Jesus said to go, that's exactly what he meant. And, you know, following Christ and saying it's written, we can say, Jesus said, and it is written, go out and tell people the good news. So we can resist that temptation to believe those who would be contrary to the Word of God. And there are, even in this day and in this area, people who would say, no, that's not what he meant. But I'm here to tell you that is what he meant. And I'm not just telling you on my authority. I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God and the example of the early believers. In fact, believers all through time have gone out into the world and they've shared the good news. This is why we support missionaries. Because they're going to places that we can't go or that we haven't gone yet. When we follow Christ's example, when we follow his example, when we're tempted to disbelieve God's Word, or we're tempted to think maybe it's something different than what it was actually written to be, we can use that phrase, it is written. It's written in the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. And we can throw Scripture at whomever it is that says, no, that's not what it means. And also, we can remember that the authority of God's Word is conveyed by saying it's written. Now, some people say that it's just a book of fairy tales. They don't care about that Bible. They don't want to hear from that Bible. They don't want to hear anything about it. They don't want God's Word. They don't want God's Word to guide them. They don't want to live by it. They certainly don't want you to tell it to them. But Jesus said to go and tell it to them. And so whether they want to receive it or not, it's our duty to Him to share the Word of God. Following Christ's example enables us to resist the temptation to not do what He said. Because there's all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't. I mean, there's lots of reasons that will come up in our lives. Well, you know, those people, they look at me funny whenever I share the Word. Or, you know, my boss doesn't want to hear that from me. Or. All the different excuses that we can come up with to say, nah, we don't have to do that anymore. That was for them. But I'm here to tell you, no, that's not true. Regardless of the nature of the temptation, Christ's example and following His example helps us to resist the temptation to do opposite of what He claims that we were to do. And it's a powerful tool. It guides us to be like Christ. And this is what we're calling ourselves if we claim to be Christians. We're calling ourselves like Christ. If we want to be like Christ, then we need to resist temptation like Christ did. And stand upon the text of God's Word. With Christ, we can do all things. The road might be rough. It might be tough. It might be dangerous. But I'll tell you what, there is no greater satisfaction than when you get into the gates of heaven and you see all the souls that your life touched. You will know then that you did exactly what He wanted you to do. And we're going to start with a text from the 16th chapter of Mark. I left my illuminated Bible downstairs. So I'm just going to open up here since I didn't have it opened already. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to read, if you'll look on, let's see, what page is that in the Pew Bible? 687 in the Pew Bible. Mark chapter 16. We'll begin with verse number 15. Mark 16, beginning at verse 15. Or 14. You know what? Let's start at 14. That's the beginning of the passage there. Again, that's page 687 in the Pew Bible, if I got that right. Hopefully I did. Okay, and this is what we hear there. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Gospel there means good news, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. "Preach the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Pray that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I trust that he will. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach to every creature." And obeying his command to go, it doesn't mean just opening the doors to this building or any other like it and saying, "Come on in." It doesn't just mean that. It means going out, sharing the good news wherever you are. And you have to share it with people who may not even want it. And I'm not saying pound them on the head with a Bible, okay? I'm not saying if they reject you that you have to go forward. Because the Word of God shows us that when you're rejected, you're to wipe the dust off your feet and move out. Leave them. Okay? If they reject the good news, you leave it. You don't have to keep forcing it on them. This is where some people go wrong. Obeying that command means going out. We can open the doors and we can invite people in. I'm not saying let's lock the doors. We can open the doors and invite people in. But that's not the only thing. The number one priority is that each of us reaches others for Christ out there. Somehow, some way, reach people for Christ in the world. To do this, we have to resist the temptation to fear. We have to resist the temptation to feel shame. Remember, it's written in chapter 9, verse 26, that Jesus said, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." You can't be ashamed to share the good news. God has saved you. He has saved you from certain death. And it is your duty to share that good news. And as your life is transformed by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can show, you can reveal to people, "Look what God did to me. He's changed me. He's transformed me." And there are people, folks, I'll tell you, between the time that I was preaching and then I wasn't preaching and then I was again, in that time, that 10 or 15 years, whatever it was, 20 years, when I was being disobedient, there were things that I did. There were people that I was with. There were people that now would not comprehend how God could change me from where I was. The ones that didn't know me before. The ones that knew me before when I was preaching, "Oh, I see you got back to religion," they'll say. I say, "Well, you know what? I'm not a religious person." "Really? No, I'm not religious. I am relational. I have a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And He's the one that's changed me. He has transformed me. He has renewed me." Don't retreat the moment that the enemy throws something at you. People will throw some nasty looks at you sometimes when you share the gospel. David Smith and I were at the chicken swap. I remembered this yesterday. My wife has chickens and she's swapping them out with different people for different things. But anyway, we were at the chicken swap at Tractor Supply yesterday, and as we were there, I was listening to some gospel music, and nobody said anything. You know, I had it on as loud as it could go on that little laptop of mine, and it was playing just loud enough so I could hear it over top of all the talking around me. And I remember the time when David Smith and I were down there at the swap. His wife does chickens, and she was swapping like my wife, and there was a woman that was sitting next to us who got offended that we were talking about religion. And she posted online on the chicken swap site that this is wrong and these people, you know, talking about religion. I mean, it was crazy how she really blew up about me and David talking about church-related matters. And I don't remember what we talked about. We weren't talking to her. We weren't saying, you must repent and be saved. But she got offended because she heard a bit of the gospel. And now the Word tells us that the gospel brings offense. It will always bring offense. You are not going to please everybody with the Word of God. It's not going to happen. The Word, in fact, tells us that's the truth. And you think about that. Even if the enemy wins a skirmish, you got to get up. You got to clean your wounds. You got to say, okay, I'm going to dust myself off and I'm going to go forward. I'm going to keep doing what God wants me to do. You need to go forward with firm resolve to obey Christ. You got to be committed to Christ's mission, but not just His mission, to each other. We need to be supporting one another in building His kingdom. And that's not just about building this little church that meets in this building, okay? That's not just about that. Although part of that will happen, we are to be building God's kingdom. The bigger picture is to draw souls into His kingdom. And then those souls must be fed on the Word of God. Hopefully they would come here and we would be able to feed them. We need to be committed to God's mission, not just our own. When it comes to living a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not about I. It's not about me. It's all about we. We work for the King. We are children of the King. We are friends. We have been brought into His kingdom. We have the keys, and we need to share them with others. It's not about fixing our lives, although that happens. We're blessed. It's all about Him getting what He bought and paid for. And that we that we talk about isn't just those who gather in this building. It's all who come into the kingdom of God. It's all who truly are believers who serve with Christ as our commander. Yeah, I started to prepare this message as an extension of the Memorial Day message. Because I was thinking of things in military terms, because here's Christ, He's our commander. He's the supreme in command. He's the general, the five-star. He's the top. There's no other above Him when it comes to authorities, except the Father, according to the Scripture. It's all true believers who serve with Christ as our commander. We're comrades united in prayer. We're comrades united in fellowship. We are comrades united in service, not just to God, although most certainly to God, but also to each other. We're called to rescue those who are perishing so that they can become part of the we. We have to stand firm in one spirit. We have to work side by side with one another, with one mind, and accept the privilege of serving whatever the cost. And sometimes the costs are great, folks. Sometimes the costs are great. Sometimes the cost is paid in being opposed by others. I can tell you the truth. I've been opposed by others from the very first time that I ever spoke the Word of God. And that's going to happen. There's going to be people that will talk bad on you. They're going to oppose you. They're not going to love you for sharing the good news with them. Sometimes the cost is paid in suffering ridicule. I've been ridiculed. Not lately, but I have been ridiculed for sharing the good news. Sometimes that cost is paid in lost opportunities, and those things you may never know. You may never know the opportunities that you've lost because somebody didn't like that you were a follower of Christ. Sometimes the cost is paid in isolation. Sometimes we're isolated. Sometimes we're set aside. Sometimes we're marginalized because we follow Christ. And sometimes the cost are all of these things and more. Please remember that it's our privilege to serve the One who gave all. He gave all. He paid it all. I want you to open your Bibles now to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You'll find that on page 800 in the Pew Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're just going to read the first 7 verses. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verses 1 through 7. And I wanted you to read it along with me. A lot of times I just read the Scripture to save us the time of hunting it. But I really want you to hear it from the Word of God. And I want you to have it right in front of you so that you know it is the Word of God that's speaking to you. And in 2 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, who was a young man, he was a preacher. "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." He's saying, you heard the good news from me, you need to share it with others. You need to give it to others who then can take and share it with others. So whenever Jesus said, go, this is what Paul did. He went, and then he told Timothy, go, give it to others, and then tell them to go and give it to others. Okay? "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Hardship? Wait a minute. I didn't sign up for hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Hardship? Competition? You're enlisted as a soldier? Wow! You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Jesus gathered 12 average guys. 12 guys, they were not religious scholars. They weren't biblical scholars. They didn't know the Word of God. Now, they may have had some knowledge of it, but these weren't guys that were in religious schooling. These were average guys, and he took them to follow him and learn his way. He taught them his way. And as his ministry progressed, persecution arose and it increased. It increased to the point of his death, and then eventually theirs. But not before they went out and they shared that good news. After his death, his followers hid because they were afraid for their lives. But then once they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they became powerful. They didn't care about this life anymore. They went out there and they said, you know what? I'm going to give everybody the word. I'm going to give everybody the good news. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell them the truth, whether they want it or not, whether they like me or not, whether or not they resist me or not. They recognized it wasn't about them. It was all about him getting the souls that he bought and paid for. And there's many followers since then have suffered persecution and even torment at the hands of those who oppose the teaching of Christ. We don't like to hear that. That's not a good fluffy message. Pastor, that's not making us feel good. Had a lady here one time told me, you're supposed to make us feel good. I said, I haven't seen that in the Bible. I'm sorry. I've got to tell you what the Word of God says. I have to. Now, when we go into the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I'm not going to have you open there just for the interest of time. I'm going to read it to you. "Some were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of mockings and scourgings." In other words, they were laughed at, they were jeered at, and they were beaten. "Others," he says, "and then those who were chained and imprisoned, and those who were stoned and sawn in half," they were cut in half, "and were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins." In other words, they didn't have the finest apparel. "Being destitute, afflicted, tormented, and of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth." Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 38. He's talking about believers. He's talking about God's people. Now, I don't know about you, but I hear these big fancy preachers, and they're talking about how you can have everything you want in this life. All you have to do is say a little prayer, and you become one of Jesus' people, and then he gives you everything you want. But that's not what it shows in God's Word. No, God will bless his people. There is no doubt about that. But it also, God's Word clearly shows us that we will, because we live godly lives, we will suffer persecution. Remember, it's a privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ. And hear why I say that. It's written in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, there's lots of people that will believe, but also, now you're not going to like this part, to suffer for His sake. That's what's written. That's what's written. How many people today understand the truth of what God's Word says? When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you're enlisted in His army, and you very well may get used to suffering because it's going to happen. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear all the fluffy stuff. We want the cotton candy melts in your mouth, tastes so sweet. But the truth is, God's Word has some very hard, hard realities in it. And I don't want to, it's not a downer. You have to recognize, you've got to get the whole message. God will bless His people, but there is likely to be suffering that comes along with sharing the gospel. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, listen what's written there. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Oh, anybody can suffer for doing evil, right? But we might be imprisoned for doing what's right by God. You know, I think about tonight, there's going to be a blessing service at the high school. And I will have a little speaking part in there. And I always, always am blessed to see how we can still speak in a public school in the name of Jesus Christ. But it makes me wonder, how long is that going to go on? But granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but to suffer for His sake. We who suffer as we serve Almighty God with Christ, we are living proof of what's written when Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember, the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. That's what Jesus said. Now, how many people are preaching that today? How many people are telling the truth? There's not many. It's easier to get seats filled when you tell people God's going to take care of you, and He will. I can tell you that's the truth. But it's not the whole truth. The possibility exists that when you share the good news, when you go out there and you share the good news, the possibility exists that you're going to have some type of persecution. And you might not even know that it's happening. You might not know that you missed an opportunity. You might not know that you didn't get the job promotion because you were a Christian. You might not know that. They might not come right out and blatantly tell you that's why. But those things happen, folks. And in our modern times, we don't have people that are shooting. Well, in most cases, we don't have people shooting other people because they're Christians. Not in this country, anyway. Not yet. But other places... Other places, there's people that are being murdered for their faith. Right now, there will be people that are being killed this week because of their faith in Jesus Christ. In the early church, people came into the body of believers fully aware of the fact that they could and probably would suffer. And the church was strong. It was strong. Because they loved not their lives even unto death. In other words, they said, my life doesn't matter. This life in this world is irrelevant. What matters is serving my King, serving my Commander, serving my Almighty God, the Father. The same is true today across the world. People are learning. In fact, everywhere but probably in this nation or in the Western Hemisphere, people know, you know what, if I become a Christian, I could suffer. I mean, some of these other countries, they know if they become a believer, they're going to suffer. They know that their families are going to suffer or their families are going to write them off. But still, they're coming to Christ. Nobody tricked them into making the confession of faith by saying a little prayer with the promise of everlasting happiness. Say this little prayer, brother. Come on down to the altar here. Say this little prayer and you'll be saved now and forever. And God will bless you. Oh, when they brought the gospel to people, they said, you know what? You might suffer for this. In fact, look at our brother over here. Look at our sisters over there. Nobody tricked them. Nobody told them they'd get their best life now. Instead, they were given the truth. Listen now, listen. Listen. The cost of following the way of Jesus is high. And as we go forward in the timeline of events, as we look at the biblical examples that we can follow, we see that it's not going to get any easier. The faith that we live right now, we have the privilege to live it freely right now in this land. But there are many people all over the world that do not get to live freely expressing their faith. They have to hide out. They're hiding in caves. They're hiding in dark places. They're not putting a light on a building and saying, here we are, come on and we're going to worship together. They got secret places where they meet so that they're not physically persecuted or completely wiped out. That's what's happened all through time, from the time of Christ. There were people that were hiding in their faith. They were telling other people, and many of them got killed for it. You know, those people knew, and many today know, that they'll suffer many things in this life. But they also learned that the eternal blessings of serving in God's army, following His commands, those eternal blessings, they're far greater than anything here. In fact, God's Word tells us, store up not treasure for yourself here. He says, store up treasure for yourself in heaven, where the moth doesn't eat it and rust doesn't decay it. Put your treasure in heaven. And how do you do that? You go and you do what He said to do. You share the good news. You share the truth. You know, most people don't sign up willingly for pain and suffering. There are some people that do. And there's names for them. But all of us experience pain and suffering in this life. All of us experience it. And some, the pain's been physical. And for others, it's been emotional. And for some, it's been both. There's people that have a lot of anguish. There's people that have a lot of pain. There's people that suffer greatly in this life. But how many of the people that hear this message suffer for Christ? It's written, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's no way out of it. God's Word is clear. And, you know, it might make you want to not be a Christian, right? Well, you know, I heard a story one time where a preacher put on a show. And nobody knew it was a show. There were some armed bandits come in, dressed with black outfits or military outfits or whatever, black hoods on their head. They had rifles. They said, okay, anybody here who wants to die for their faith, stand up. A bunch of people stood up. Said, okay, the rest of you, get out of here. And so the ones that didn't stand up, they ran out the door. And the guys put down the guns and they said, okay, preacher, now preach. Okay. Yeah. He said, okay. They were faithful. All those other ones, they were just there for the religion. But those ones had a relationship. I'll die for my Savior. How many of us would? I don't know. That's a hard question. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it's written, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. Most people don't want to hear this kind of stuff, folks. But if I'm going to be an honest preacher, if I'm going to be preaching the truth, if I'm going to go out into the world or in this building, and I'm going to give the truth, I need to give the whole truth. And this is the unpleasant part. This is the part that most people don't touch anymore. We can't do that. The people will leave. You won't be able to fill the seats with people if you do that. If you preach that, you've got to make people feel good. Well, I'm sorry. That's not what God's Word shows. God's Word shows I need to preach the whole truth. And sometimes it's a hard reality. How many people who are called Christian will stand firm facing persecution? Ridicule and pain and suffering could come our way when we profess our faith and we honestly state our belief to those who may not want to hear it. Our help is found in Christ. It comes in knowing that we stand firm with Christ and we fight the fight of faith, united with others, united with each other, united with people all over the world. We're standing for the faith of Jesus Christ. And that fight's not for our meager lives or our possessions. No, it's for something bigger and better than ourselves. How many of you have cared for somebody so much that you would have willingly taken their suffering? I remember my dad offering to give a part of his heart for my sister who was dying from heart disease. Now, that wasn't an option, okay? There was no way they were going to take a piece of his heart and help her. But he offered. He offered because he loved his daughter and he wanted to try to save her. Have you ever seen your child sick and said, I wish I could take that from them? You ever have that kind of compassion that you just don't want to see them suffer anymore? Children are created through us and they bear our image. And the loving parent loves so deep that they would accept their suffering, the child's suffering, for ourselves. And we would even pay to take away their pain. We'd do whatever we could to help them feel better. That's what our commander did. He gave his life to take away eternal suffering. And that's the commitment that's revealed in our suffering for him. No matter what that suffering is, it might not be a great amount of suffering. It might just be that you're resigned to live differently than you had hoped at some earlier time in your life. Maybe you just don't have everything you thought you'd have. Or maybe you've got to live in circumstances that are less than ideal to you. But God has a purpose for that. Sharing the good news sometimes comes with suffering. But we are privileged to serve in the way that he did. Jesus said, greater love than has no one than this, and to lay down one's life for his friends. It's easy to see the connection between selfless people and Christ. Selfless people give of themselves, just as Christ did. Many have given their lives throughout the centuries, declaring his message that others might be saved from the guilt and the power of sin. And that's interesting to me. People gave their lives. Their sacrifice was for freedom. It was for freedom from eternal bondage. It was for freedom that they were prepared to meet him. And at his coming, they want others to be prepared to meet him. There's a parable in the 14th chapter of Luke. Jesus relates the story of God's invitation to the great feast. But the people who were invited made excuses for not attending. One used their property as an excuse. I just bought a piece of property. I got to tend to it. And another one, he wasn't concerned about property, but he had animals to take care of. He wanted to get to his animals. He refused the invitation. And another used his wife as an excuse. I just got married. I got to take care of my girl. And these fictional people show what's wrong in Christ's church today. In fact, what's been wrong from the beginning. Many, many people are too concerned with other things to serve God. They love themselves more than others. That's just the plain truth of it. It's not good news. That's just the way it is. Jesus summed up all of the law and the teachings of the prophets into loving God and loving our neighbor. We love God, we serve God. We love our neighbor, we bring him the good news, whether they want it or not. Those who love God and their fellow humans more than themselves willingly serve God. It's not a, I got to serve God again today. No, you have it in your heart to do it. You have the heart of love, the core of love. And that is simply self-sacrifice. I'll put myself aside. I put my goals aside. I put me aside. And I serve him to the fullest of my ability. Jesus made this clear in his teachings. He made it clear in his life, his suffering, his sacrifice. He made it clear in his death for us. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? 3 times he asked him, do you love me? And why was it 3 times? It's very pointed. He asked him 3 times because Peter denied him 3 times. And so as I'm preparing the message, I'm asking myself, how many times have I denied him? How many times do I need to say, I love you, Lord? How many times have we been given chances to serve Him and found reasons to excuse ourselves? Oh, God, I would, but I've got this to do. I've got that to do. The truth. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. And this is the great love that each of us can share. We can share. We can share that love. Our regeneration from spiritual death to spiritual life enlists us into the army of the Lord. Our regeneration has enlisted us into His army. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. Christ is our armor. Almighty God won the victory. He already won the victory, but still we have to battle. The victory's already won. But in our lives, we are still battling. We're still fighting unseen enemies. We can look at the faithful followers of Jesus through history, and we can see the spreading of the gospel has a price, and it has always had a price. Each of those people gave their lives to bring others the truth. They gave their lives to bring others the truth. And the battle has gotten countless numbers of people killed. Only extreme love for God and others can lead somebody to sacrifice their life for the gospel. You therefore, it's written in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say you must have luxury, comfort, and wealth. It doesn't say, give me $1,000 and you'll get happiness. It doesn't say you have to have your own jet to fly around the world. It doesn't say if you're a soldier. It says, as a soldier. And then we hear, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Who enlisted us? Almighty God, our Creator, enlisted us. He enlisted us into that war. And that's God that we please by not being consumed by the affairs of this life. Sometimes we got to get things in order, and there's no doubt about that. God has helped me to set my house in order, and I still have some ordering to do. With His plan, with His will, I will get those things taken care of. I'll have my life in order. And sometimes there's things that consume us. There's things we're not deliberately, willfully turning our back on God, but we've got to take care of this stuff. We've got to be good stewards of what He's entrusted to us. And there's some kind of a balance there. We can't give everything over and say, well, you know, I'm just going to walk away. We could. But I don't know that that's good stewardship. God has entrusted us with things, and we need to be in the battle, but at the same time taking care of all those things that He's entrusted to us. But we can't be consumed by the affairs of this life. We please God by serving as dedicated, enthusiastic soldiers. And it's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And once again, we hear that word obedience. Jesus said, go. Go and tell the truth. Tell the truth, even if it doesn't feel good. If it doesn't feel good to you, or it doesn't feel good to others. Go and tell the truth. Tell the good news. And sometimes the good news is bad news, because you might come under persecution. We have spiritual power, but sometimes we suffer for our faith. And still, we must be willing to go, to share, to invite others to follow Christ, even if it means suffering. We can't sugarcoat it, folks. We can't tell them God's going to give you a big fluffy bowl of cotton candy. You've got to be able to tell people, you know what, it could cost you to follow Christ. And the nearer we get to that day when He returns, the more that's going to be true. As I wrap this up, I want to remind you that each of us has a duty to share the message of Christ in obedience to Him. Not obedience to the pastor, not obedience to anybody else. It's an obedience to Him. Jesus gave His life to free humankind from the bondage of sin and spiritual death. The faith that we enjoy was not free, folks. It cost Jesus and His followers their lives. Every believer has been bought with the blood of Christ. And we need to serve without being entangled in the affairs of the world. You think about being entangled, okay? If you're going through the woods, anybody who's ever been in the woods hunting, or maybe just out and about, and you get into a patch of thorns, and you can get entangled in those thorns, where you are stuck, or you're getting hurt because those thorns are tearing at your flesh. That's the kind of entanglement that he's talking about. He's not talking about not taking care of business. He's talking about not getting so tangled up that you can't get out. That the affairs of this life got you so tangled up that you can't get out there and do what he wants you to do. So we need to be servants without being entangled in the affairs of the world. We need to serve without looking back. Jesus said anybody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't worthy of the kingdom. In other words, don't look forward and, well, you know what, my life's pretty good back here. I got to get back to my life. The servant Jesus thing, that's no good. I got to serve me. And he says, you're not worthy of the kingdom if you do that. You got to serve selflessly. You got to use the example of Christ. And those who gave their lives in service to Almighty God. I don't know how many places across this country right now are preaching a message like this and telling people you need to be serving your God. You need to be serving Almighty God. I don't know how many people are saying that. They're telling them how good it is for them and what it's going to be for them. And here's five ways that you can have a better life. But you know what, folks? They're not preparing people for what's coming. You need to be prepared. And when I stand before Almighty God, I don't want Him to ask me, why didn't you tell them the truth? Because I'm telling you the truth. And it might not feel good to you. And I'm sorry if it doesn't feel good, but it's the truth. And I'm not telling you to harm you. I'm telling you because I love you, because I care, because I want you to have everything that God has for you. Not just in this life, but in the afterlife. Let the greater love of God and others be your guide as you go telling the truth, even if you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because after all, that's what God's Word says. That's what's written. Now let's pray. Father, as we go forward, we know that you give us spiritual power. We know that sometimes we're going to suffer for our faith. And sometimes it's so hard, Lord, because it's not that we're ashamed of you, but sometimes we're afraid. Help us to set aside that fear. I would like to see each one that hears this message, Lord, those in the building today and those that will hear it in other ways. And I would like to see each one become emboldened and go to tell the truth and draw others, Lord, those souls that you bought and paid for. Draw them out of the darkness and into the light, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's open our bulletins there. You've got Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and we're going to sing. I think we have three verses, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.